Ouais, bah si.
How long can the night last? And how many questions can I ask without any answers? God, would you help me remember, remember what you told me, told me? You said you'd never leave me, leave me. I'm hanging on to your promises, 'cause your promise is
we are in week two of our Jesus and our mental health series, and the topic for today is sorrow in terms of our grief and our loss. The death of a loved one is a pretty serious blow to our mental health and well-being, right? It's like the finality of it all, at least the finality of togetherness in this life anyway, and that makes it so painful. Losing your husband or wife of many years is got to be so hard. Losing a dad or a mom is painful. And I try not to think about that too much working on the message this week, but losing a child. Sherry and I went through and experienced a miscarriage. That was hard enough. It's hard to even imagine losing a child who you've loved on for years. Again, can't imagine that. That must be soul-crushing, right? Death can be devastating, especially when it was a close, loving relationship with the person that you lost. But even if it wasn't a close and loving relationship, like if there was abuse or abandonment or dysfunction in it, that can be just as devastating and maybe even sometimes worse, because the finality means never having the chance to mend or repair that brokenness, right? Never getting the apology you felt you deserved. No matter who it is, death has a way of bringing up all kinds of really, really difficult thoughts and emotions in us. And so death is like the big obvious, right? Death is the big obvious loss that causes us this strong emotional difficulty, but there are other losses that can cause just as much devastation in our life. A marriage that ends in divorce is a loss that feels like death, so I'm told. Except the other person's still alive, right? I've heard some people say it might have even been easier had that person passed away, because at least they could just grieve and move on. In a divorce, the sorrow is all there, but along with that come complications and questions, right? What went wrong? What could I have done differently? How did things turn out this way? What happened? In some cases, there's embarrassment or a feeling of failure. Maybe there is betrayal or unfaithfulness. Like, it's not just loss. It's all that mixed into one. And maybe even the fact that there's this kind of emotional hope that things will somehow be mended and repaired one day and work it out, make it work, and then every day that doesn't happen, you get to relive that pain all over again. Right? And maybe it's not a divorce you went through personally, but perhaps one that you experienced as a child. Recently, someone shared their story with me, and part of it was a time where their father had left their family for a few years. He was in a bad place personally. Didn't know Jesus, struggled with alcohol, couldn't handle his wife and his kids, so he abandoned them. She was like 2 years old when that happened, but remembers just crying and screaming out for her dad as he left. And it didn't make any difference, right? He still walked away. Now, in this person's life, dad came back. A few years later, met Jesus, got his life straightened out, by all accounts has been a good dad since then, but the trauma of that loss scarred her, right? And so to this day, We talked about the struggles with letting people get close, right? Keeping them at a distance. It's too risky to let them get close because deep down, she fears that eventually they'll leave her, right? Just like her father did. And it's definitely affected the dynamics overall in her family in terms of relational health, right? So maybe it's one of those kind of losses. Maybe it's a loss of a friend, right? Like not in death, but the friendship went sideways or somehow dissolved. Now, I get that there are times where that happens and like naturally in life, and it's really like no big deal that a friendship, you know, moved on. But other times, it can scar you. I mentioned last week, personally, going through a rough time a few years back and participating in what is called the Journey Group, and it's really for loss and grief and different aspects of that, and kind of having to explore and work through some of the things inside me that was causing a lot of anger and bitterness that was going on in my own heart. And one of the main things that I was struggling with was that I was incredibly angry at a particular individual who kind of walked out of my life. It had actually been a couple of years since that had happened. But every time I thought about him, there was this pretty intense anger and bitterness that kind of welled up in me. Right? Like we had been friends for a number of years. I really felt like they were someone who I connected with as sort of a, you know, a partner in ministry and life and talking through things and someone who I could share a lot with. And then one day they just kind of left. They just kind of abandoned that relationship. No explanation, no reason, not even a message to let me know they were going in a different direction or whatever. I reached out numerous times, never got a reply. Right? And I was like being a friend ghosted by someone who I considered to be a really close friend and just felt betrayed and abandoned. And underneath all that emotion were these questions. Like, why did this happen? What did I do wrong? And mostly I couldn't understand, like, well, what's wrong with me? Right? That was the big question I was asking. Now, look, I know there were a lot of other issues besides this friendship that were causing difficult emotions. It's hardly ever just one thing, right? But this loss of a friend was a big thing. And in my mind, it seemed like harboring that kind of anger was kind of a bit over the top, right? Like, it was a bit unwarranted and kind of excessive. It just shouldn't have bothered me as much as it did. And as I had to unpack that and look back on my life experiences, I discovered something I never really saw before, that I have this trail of losses of friendships throughout my life that have deeply affected me. Now, again, some of these losses would seem small when I look back on it, like they shouldn't be a big deal. But over the course of your life, it all adds up, right? We often aren't aware of what's building up inside of us as a result of those experiences. So when this close friend left a couple of years ago, it wasn't just a one-time thing that I could shake or blow off, right? It was like I was feeling every loss of every one of those relationships all over again. I had this lifetime of losses that had deeply affected me in ways I didn't even realize. So the death of a loved one, the end of a marriage, the loss of a friend, maybe disconnected relationships with our kids, or just the kids moving on and being out of the house and how that changes the dynamic. Like any of those things are losses and they're really tough. Those are kind of relational losses, and there are others that we experience, but there's other kinds of losses that hit a lot harder than we realize as well. They aren't as much relational, but they still hurt deeply. Maybe your grief and loss is from a job you were let go from, or a dream or a vision or expectation you had for your life that never became reality. Maybe a deep sense of regret because of a missed opportunity, right? And then when it finally came around, like, you blew it, right? Or maybe a project you've poured your heart and soul into, and despite all of those efforts, it's just collapsing, right? It's just falling apart. Those are all legitimate types of loss, and they can hit a lot harder than we realize. And the thing is about those things is that people don't give you the same kind of sympathy and understanding as when, you know, you have a loved one who passes away or a marriage that dissolves, right? And yet any of these losses we experience, they affect us deeply, right? They deeply affect our mental health. Now, as we explore the topic of sorrow in terms of loss and grief this morning, I want to ask you, like, would you just personalize it? Like, as you hear the things that you hear, where you kind of filter them through your grief, your loss, your experiences of sorrow, ones you're going through now, or ones that you have been through, right? Because I'll kind of refer to loss and grief in a general way, not a specific kind here, but they all kind of apply. So whatever loss and grief you experience or are currently working through, just take what we're talking about and kind of put it all into that context. And, you know, I pray that the things that we will talk about this morning would be helpful for you as you work through that. You probably heard that there are different stages of grief. You're going to hear a number of resources today or a number of people today that are kind of resources that kind of helped shape some of the things that I'm sharing. You'll see at the end of the, during announcements, we do have a link to a resource page. So if you want to go and check some of these things out, you can do it directly. You don't have to, like, take copious notes here. Some of them you'll be able to go find in different forms, okay? So just know that. But first one here is Jonathan Fisher, and he's a licensed professional counselor from True Hope Christian Counseling, and I kind of came across something on his site. I don't know him, don't know him personally or anything like that, but talking about these stages of grief that we go through. And I found it to be pretty helpful. They're commonly accepted in psychological circles. Sometimes, you know, these five stages, people list them as seven or whatever. But one of the things that he mentioned was that as Christians, we can find additional layers of meaning and comfort when we realize how these things fit into our faith and the grieving process. And so I want to walk through them a little bit for a few minutes because I think they're really relevant. And again, these also spill over into other areas of our lives. So the article that, if you go look it up, will be called The Stages of Grief Through a Christian Lens. And so the first stage of grief that we often go through, usually go through, is denial. Stage one is denial. And this can be like a shock response, feeling numb, a disbelief at something that's taken place, maybe even expecting the lost person or the lost thing to kind of reappear. And during this stage, the reality of your loss, it might be too overwhelming to internalize, to fully grasp. And denial kind of serves as a shield, right? It allows you to process the grief more gradually instead of it coming and flooding at you all at once. It kind of buffers that initial pain. And his advice in this was, in these moments, lean on God's presence, right? Know that he's close to you, offering comfort and solace. Psalm 34:18 reminds us, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And he recommends that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we engage in prayer and scripture reading, and it can help kind of ground our emotions and the things that we're feeling. And also, God can bring a sense of peace in the middle of the chaos. Don't rush yourself through this denial stage. Give yourself the grace and the time to come to terms with what's taken place. So that's the first stage, is denial. Second stage is anger. Frustration, rage, resentment. It's like a way to express the intense feelings that you're going through. It's a natural response when we're feeling helpless or powerless. When anger is associated with grief, he says this often is a manifestation of the deeper pain and frustration that you're feeling. It's like a very natural part of your grief. And so you might direct your anger at various sources, towards yourself, towards other people, towards God even, right? But remember, that anger that's coming out is often just symptomatic of something going on deeper. And it's okay to express the anger, but his advice is allow yourself to feel it, knowing that it's a step toward healing. And remember, like the Psalms, they're filled with raw, honest expressions of anger and despair. One example, Psalm 13, David is crying out to God, and he says, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day?" Right? He's expressing, lashing out at God. Just as David cried out to God, you can express your anger, your frustrations. Look, your emotions are valid. Bring them before him and know that he hurts with you. Okay? Stage three, then, is bargaining. Bargaining. And this is kind of a what if or if only stage, right? Like we kind of are making deals. Like sometimes with what others will refer to as a higher power with God, like, well, God, what if only you had done this, or what if, like, that is the posture we often take. It often involves some guilt on our part. We might even blame ourselves. Like, you start to think about what you could have done differently to prevent the loss, and you try and search for meaning behind the loss. Like, what's the reason? Why did this happen? You know, I think of the friend that I used the example at, and it's kind of like you find yourself on Facebook scrolling, looking for some sort of clue as to why they might have done what they did. Like, oh, well, is this happening, or what's going on in their life? And it's something that Lisa Turkhurst, psychologist and author, describes as going shopping for pain. Going shopping for pain. Like, you're seeking reasons and answers, and you're searching for safety because it's safer if you can find a solution, if you can figure it out, right? But what you're really doing is turning to the source of pain, instead of turning to the source of life, who is Jesus. Right? Now, Jonathan's advice was, while these thoughts are natural, remember, God's plan is beyond our understanding. Right? We can try and figure it all out, but God's plan and his, it's beyond our understanding. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, God says this, "My thoughts are not like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So we trust that he is in control, right? That's what we need to do. Trust that he's in control. It's okay to feel uncertain. It's okay to seek meaning, but rest in the assurance that God has got it in his hands. He holds you and your loved ones in his hands. So that's the bargaining stage. Stage four is depression. And this has to do with overwhelming sadness, hopelessness, emptiness, deep loneliness, because the reality of the loss starts to set in. Okay? And in this stage, the weight of your sorrow might feel unbearable. Right? Depression in grief is like deep and consuming. And it's okay to feel this way, right? I think that's important to realize. It's okay to feel this way. Your feelings of emptiness, hopelessness, and profound sorrow, they're real, and they're valid. But his advice in this is, in these moments of darkness, remember God is with you, right? God's love surrounds you, even in the depths of your pain. Psalm 23, 4, probably a verse you're fairly familiar with, and we'll actually come back to Psalm 23 in a few minutes, but even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Right? Allow yourself to lean on God's strength and the support of your faith community. Right? You're not alone. Seek support from your church community, counseling, support groups, family, friends that you can that can provide you kind of that comfort and companionship that you need during the darkest seasons. Don't try to go it alone. Right? So that's, and there's a lot more to each one of these stages, but that's the depression stage. And stage five is acceptance. Acceptance. Right? This is where you're acknowledging the reality of the loss and then learning to live with it and readjusting your life. It doesn't mean you're okay with the loss. It doesn't mean like all of a sudden it's all good and it's all okay. But you acknowledge the reality of the situation and you begin to find a way forward. Right? It involves finding a way to live with that loss and discovering like what is often referred to as a new normal. A new normal. And his advice in this, Jonathan's advice in this, was embrace the hope that comes from your faith. As believers, acceptance is deeply intertwined with hope. Right? For believers who pass away, for example, embrace the promise of eternal life and the hope of reunion in heaven. Right? In other words, in other losses, like if it's not a death, let God's hope give strength and peace as you move forward. Revelation 21:4. One of the probably most comforting verses of looking ahead to what our future beyond this life holds is this: he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Right? God's promises are true. So when he says he's going to do this, it's something he's going to do. And his love is eternal, so we cling to that hope. Okay? So these are the stages of grief that we will go through: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And it's also important to realize this is not a linear process, right? It's not like, oh, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. You know, you're going to go back and forth. You're going to jump around. You're going to be stuck in some longer than others. It's just the reality of it. But remember that God is present in every single stage of your grief. Right? It's not like he just jumps in at the end or only meets you at certain points. He's there through the whole thing. And remembering that he's present with you can transform a time of sorrow and a process of grieving into an opportunity for a much deeper faith and spiritual growth. And I know and realize that's not what we want. We don't want that at all. We want the pain to go away. We're not like, oh, this will be a great opportunity for spiritual growth and a closer connection with God. And yet we want to be reminded of those things. You don't have to walk through those steps alone, and you're certainly held in God's loving embrace. So if you are going through a grieving process, or need to look back on grief in your own life, again, this Jonathan Fisher resource, really helpful. It kind of sums up, even expands a little bit, some of the things we just mentioned. As we go through grief and sorrow, I'll say, loss and grief, we should also realize that God's desire was for us not to experience sorrow, grief, loss, or pain like we do. Right? what's the name of the Lisa Turkhurst book that the women's group is going through? It's like not meant to be this way. Not supposed to be this way, right? That's so true. In God's original design, we were meant for a world that was ideal, right? Relational harmony between humanity and the world, between us and each other, and between us and God. No sorrow, no pain, no grief. Death was never a part of God's original design plan. It came through sin. Right? Romans talks so much about that. death came through sin. All of this fallenness and brokenness of God's creation came through sin. However, and here's kind of maybe a first point, that personal point, I guess, that I want to encourage you with, or encourage you to take away from, is that sorrow serves a purpose. The sorrow we experience serves a purpose. It shows us our need for God. It shows us our need for God. Right? It shows us there's something wrong with us, or there's something wrong with this world that we live in. There's something that's just not right here. And it shows us that there's this need for a God who can rescue and save us. Now, again, we usually pray for God to take away our pain, to fix our problems so we don't have to feel the sorrow anymore. But often, instead of removing our pain, he walks us through it. Right? God wants to use our sorrow to draw us near to him. Okay. Again, Lisa Turkhurst, kind of a big reference today. She also has a podcast called Therapy and Theology. It's under Proverbs 31 Ministries. That'll be on the resource list. But talks a bit about the difference between getting out of something hard and going through something hard. Right? There's a big difference between those two. And oftentimes, the only way out is through. That's usually the path that God leads us on. It's not what we feel we want. When we're in extreme pain, we say, like, okay, God, deliver me from this. And we want it immediate, and we want a big miracle. We want God to take it away. We want him to heal our sick parent or our spouse or our child. We want him to change that person's heart because we want our friend back. We want God to make the circumstances better, whether it's in our work, in our ministry, in our family, in our relational life, so that we can feel level again and things are not so hard. And look, God can do that. He can do that. It's okay for us to ask for that, to pray for that. He is a God of miracles, right? We know that. But so many times in Scripture, as well as in our own life, we don't get the miracle we want. We don't get it. And when she was sharing about that, I began to think about some biblical examples of how we see this play out. I thought about how Paul talked about how he prayed and asked God to remove a thorn in his side. Now, he didn't specify exactly what that was, whether it was a physical pain, a spiritual attack that he was facing, maybe a struggle with sin. We don't know. But God just said, no, no. You just need to trust that my grace is enough for you. Like, and like God talks about, you know, my strength will be made perfect in your weakness, right? That's how he's going to make it known. Whatever that thorn in the side was, it was something he had to go through, not get out of. David prayed for deliverance from Saul and his enemies. Like, he was under attack all the time. By the way, you read the Psalms, it's like he doesn't just pray for deliverance. He kind of prays that God would, like, squash his enemies. You know, it's pretty intense there, right? Talk about expressing to God. But the reality was, is while God did lead him to victory, he still had to fight the battles. Right? It was still a battle for him. It was something he had to go through, not get out of. And of course, you think of Jesus, right? Who prayed and asked the Father if the cup that he was about to bear could pass him by. And yet, he was willing to let God's will be done. It led him to the cross. Because it was something he had to go through, not get out of. God usually doesn't just get us out of the pain, the sorrow, the grief, and give us instant healing and peace. Instead, he journeys with us through that painful experience. And again, a big benefit of that is when God walks with us through our sorrow, it deepens our relationship with him. Right? We get to know him better. We get to experience his heart. I mentioned Psalm 23:4 before. One of the passages we often turn to in sorrow and grief is Psalm 23. Hear it read at funerals a lot, but it's kind of a psalm that we hear, and it's a psalm that brings us comfort. Even people who are not followers of Jesus will like know this psalm because it means something. It helps somehow, right? But here's what it says. Again, you're probably familiar with it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. You lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a banquet for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's so much there. It's a good passage to turn to in our sorrow and in our grief. But I just want to pull us into one verse of that today, and it's that verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. And I was thinking about that verse and thinking, if we're in the valley, it means there's mountains around us, right? Like, look, the view from the mountaintop is great. Things are good up there. We can see the beauty of the land for miles and miles. We see the sun shining and we can feel its warmth. When the sun rises and the sun sets, we get to see this beauty and it's like breathtaking. Like we like being up on the mountaintop. And then when we're in the valley, those very same mountains are ominous. Right? The walls of rock around us make us feel trapped. It seems like there's no way out. The sun is hidden from our view. There's no pretty sunrise or sunset to see. Right? It's all darkness to us. And we look at it and we think getting to the mountaintop, that's miles away. It's a really difficult journey. And that's going to be impossible. So we don't like being in the valley. Much less the valley of the shadow of death. Right? Like the darkest valley we can find ourselves in. Because that's difficult. It's depressing. It's dangerous. Right? But here's the thing. The valley reveals aspects of God that the mountain could never show you. Right? The valley reveals aspects of God that the mountain could never show you. Because it's only in our darkness, kind of that dark night of the soul, in times when we don't know what's going on or how we're going to get through the sorrow that we're facing, when we've done like every single thing possible that we can think of to make things better, but nothing's working. It's really only in that place that we can experience God's presence in the most powerful ways. In some of the most powerful ways. If you think about it, you don't need God to be your closest companion until you lose your husband, your wife, or your closest companion. We don't need his intimate friendship until we lose our closest friend. We don't need a peace that passes all understanding until we're filled with all kinds of unrest and unease and grief that we can't make sense of. We don't need his strength until we realize our weakness. We don't need his encouragement until our hopes and dreams come crashing down around us. I mean, in actuality, we do need it. We do need it. We just don't realize we need it. We don't realize the depth of our need. But when we find ourselves in that valley, the valley of the shadow of death, when everything around us is overwhelming and we come to the end of ourselves, it's then we're going to realize just how much we really did need him. And if we choose to turn to him, we'll usually discover a deeper level of relationship with God as he walks through our sorrow with us. Right? There are just measures of God's presence you can only experience in the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes it's just because that's the only time we listen for him. Right? But in our difficulty, we experience him in a way we never could in good times, because the valley reveals a version of God that the mountain could never show us. The key, though, is that we actually have to turn to him. We need to run to him rather than other things in order to ease our pain. Like, we have to grieve the right way. We have to mourn the right way. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, Paul talks about not wanting us to grieve our losses like the world does, right? Do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Who have no hope. We have one more point here. We can let sorrow lead us to the Savior who can heal us. Or we can choose to grieve in unbelief without hope. We can let sorrow lead us to the Savior who can heal us. Or we can choose to grieve in unbelief without hope. I think that's a pretty powerful reality, right? We're at this crossroads in our grief. Which way, how are we going to get through? And I think one of the things that I do want to remind us this morning is that what we choose will affect our story, right? It's going to affect the story that we're going to tell. Because we only get a testimony, and we talk about testimonies all the time, how we can talk about God's goodness and all of that. We only really get a testimony as our story of God if we keep walking with him through our painful circumstances, if we keep pursuing Jesus in our pain. And if we go the other way and run to other things, we don't have a testimony, we have a tragedy. I know one woman who agonized over her marriage. And by the way, these are not examples of people who are here, so don't look around and go like, eh. Right? But I know one woman who agonized over her marriage as it was falling apart, mainly because her husband was not a believer. And to be honest, she was warned about marrying him from the start, because it's contrary to what God wants. He wants us to share our faith with the person that we're spending our life with, to have that in common. But she did it anyway, and it didn't survive. Right? Now, the heartache that it caused her was devastating. And as a Christian woman, she actually did all the right things and fought for her marriage as long as she could. But there came a point where it clearly was over. And when it ended, she ran right into the arms of another man who also wasn't a believer. Like, all her friends who are Christians warned her about that. But ultimately, her choice was to walk away from her church, from her Christian friends, and eventually her faith in Christ. And to my knowledge, I don't think that relationship made it either. Like, that's a tragedy, not a testimony. So often we run to solutions other than God. We try to numb the pain, drown it out, bury it, find something that will ease our pain instead of going through the process with the Lord. We keep ourselves busy so we don't have to face it. And then our story becomes about how we ran to alcohol, drugs, sex, another person, a hobby, or whatever to fill the pain. Or how we muscled through it in our own strength. But the problem is then not only do we still have the sorrow because we didn't go through the grieving right and with the Lord, but we also have the complication of all these bad choices on top of the sorrow. And so we have this spiritual regret as well. Right? It's a tragedy. There are numerous stories I could point out that are pretty similar, but the fact is they became tragedies instead of testimonies, because the option, the crossroads, was before them, and instead of choosing to pursue the Lord, they chose to pursue the worldly things, the other things, to fill it up. And then the healing that they could have found in Christ was never experienced because they ran from him instead of to him. Right? So we can let sorrow lead us to the Savior who can heal us, or we can choose to grieve in unbelief without hope. It's kind of the options that we have. Of course, as followers of Jesus, we want to be turning our hearts to him. And when we do, he will use it for good. He will bring about something good. There's no guarantee that working through the grief is going to be easy, but he will use it for good in our life. And we'll get a chance to experience the peace, the comfort, the strength of God in that difficult season of our life that we're never going to get to if we start trying to numb it and fill it with other things. So I don't know, maybe today you're at like a crossroads in grief in your life, or maybe how you handled some grief from the past or some loss in your life. Maybe as you look back on your life, you see how you've, well, maybe you've made that choice to run to other things instead of Jesus. Maybe it even helped a bit to some degree, but it's not the same as healing. It's not where he wants to lead you through. Maybe it's been weeks, years, or months, or even decades since you experienced that loss, but you still know that it's sharp in your spirit. There's no peace, there's only pain. And this morning, I just want to pray for us who might be dealing with that, who might be feeling that kind of loss. And even if we're not feeling it today, we know that it's lingering. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll have a time of worship kind of revolving around this idea. Father God, we all will experience pain, sorrow, grief, loss at different times in our life. We know that that's going to be to different degrees depending on what it is we're facing. Sometimes what seems like the easiest thing is that we just numb it out, we fill it up with something else because we don't want to. We just want the pain to go away. And yet it leads us into a tragedy. And all the while you're there with your arms wide open to us saying, come to me. I'm going to give you rest. Come to me. I'll make sure that you are, that you're not thirsty, that you're not hungry. Come to me and I'll give you peace. I will comfort you. I will walk with you through this difficulty. That's what you long for. And Lord, if there's anyone that's here today at a crossroads of faith in regards to their grief and their loss, we simply pray a prayer of surrendering and moving in your direction, moving toward you in our difficulty and in our pain. And Lord, even if it's something that has happened to us a long time ago, but we know that that pain and that difficulty is still there, would you meet us in that place? Would you just come into that space in our life and bring your healing? Bring your comfort. Bring your peace by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, where there are unresolved issues, where there are things of grief and stages that we've never gone through because we numbed it out and buried it deep, Would you dig up that ground? And as painful as it might be, if we need to experience more of the valley so that we can get back to the mountaintop, we pray that you would allow us to do that. And if that's where you're at this morning, I pray that you would just echo this prayer that, God, we give you permission to have that place, to go to that spot, to dig up the ground again and to take us to a place of health and wholeness and healing that you want us to be at rather than what it is that we've run to or settled for. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God who wants to meet us in our lives, who is not content to just let us go through this alone, but you want to walk through it with us. Help us to turn to you. And for those who are not in that place today, may we be equipped a little bit more to maybe help someone who is, to keep pointing them towards you. Help them see what it is you want them to see, and also that we know we will experience that at some point. So give us your heart. Help us to experience you in our loss and our grief, our suffering and our pain. And we pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. So this song that we are starting our time of worship here in these last few songs is called Faithful Still. It's a new song, probably for all of us. I think it's relevant to the grief and the sorrow that we experience.